From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, June 25th. I'm Abby Larico. The Missouri Department of Conservation is deploying some new special assistance for poaching investigations. And in some cases, it's a very good boy.
The dog could find us a blood spot that was out in the field that where a deer might have, may have been killed. The dog could find the shell casings.
More on these canine conservation agents coming up after this news on The Gateway. The St. Louis County Council has approved $3 million for health services at the St. Louis County Jail after weeks of back and forth with the county's public health department. STLPR's Lucretia Wimbley has been following this.
It's been over 2 months since the St. Louis County Department of Public Health requested the funding from the council. Department Director Kanika Cunningham says if the council continued delaying the process, the county jail would have lost half of its nursing staff, and detainees would face delays getting medication.
I don't expect for them to manage healthcare administration, but I do expect for them to provide funding and care for the individuals at the jail.
County Councilwoman Shalonda Webb says the delay was preventable.
I'm not for any more theatrics. I'm about working and serving the people. All we needed to do was to get to the table and talk to each other so we can get a clear understanding.
Cunningham says now that the funding has been approved, they can pay their contracted nurses for the rest of the year. I'm Lucretia Wimbley, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis police say point blank there is no mandate for bars in the Grove to close early on Pride weekend. Mayor Kara Spencer had announced last week that bar owners had voluntarily agreed to stop admitting new customers at midnight this Saturday and Sunday as part of a broader security plan. But some business owners said they were frustrated by the announcement and what they called a lack of communication. Wednesday afternoon, St. Louis Police Chief Robert Tracy said bars will not be required to close early.
These bars, it's like their Super Bowl. You know, they're making money. It goes back into the tax base. They're entrepreneurs, and we want to make sure that we're all good partners.
Other security changes include a curfew for teenagers on Saturday and Sunday beginning at 8 p.m. A current proposal would have $10 million in RAM settlement funds going to dealing with St. Louis's vacancy problem. As STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri reports, advocates say they're hopeful it will energize an effort to address the issue.
The $10 million allotment would be split in two per the current bill before the Board of Aldermen. Half would go toward a vacancy reduction fund to support new staff, improve enforcement, begin data collection and analysis of vacant properties, and more. The other half would go toward a fund focused on litigation over vacant or nuisance properties and to support neighborhood or nonprofit groups working to address vacancy. Pete Hoffman leads legal services of Eastern Missouri's Neighborhood Advocacy Program. He says the money is a much-needed boost for vacancy reduction efforts.
It's not going to fix itself. You got to invest in these systems. You got to invest in people who are doing the work to try to reduce vacancy and put them back to productive use.
There are more than 9,000 vacant buildings and more than 24,000 vacant parcels in the city. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
The East St. Louis School District is preparing to scale back its tutoring and after-school programs this fall. As STLPR's Hiba Ahmed reports, the district is stuck as it waits for federal funds to be released for two of its elementary schools.
The U.S. Education Department cut funding for the Full Service Community Schools grant for Illinois last year, claiming it did not align with the Trump administration's priorities. That left 32 schools across Illinois without $18.5 million in funding. That's according to Act Now, the nonprofit that administers the grant, which filed a lawsuit in response. Nina McLean is an assistant principal at Annette Harris Officer Elementary School.
When we are unable to provide for them on a level they deserve, it is, I won't say a negative experience, but it's less than what these kids deserve.
A federal judge is set to rule on the case by June 30th, which will determine whether the funding will be restored. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Ferguson has passed a budget that will cut more than $2 million from its balance sheet. Cuts include 12 full-time positions, including an assistant finance director, office manager, two records clerks, and three firefighter EMT positions. It also includes four positions that haven't been filled. The new budget comes after a month of debate and conversations over what should and shouldn't be cut. Jamil Franklin is a Ferguson council member, and he says the city's financial woes came from overestimating tax revenue years ago.
This is a problem that's been ongoing for years. And for whatever reason, it was not identified and resolved. So now this becomes the number one priority.
The new budget passed with 4 votes and 2 abstentions. Adrian Shropshire is mayor of Ferguson. During a council meeting this week, he said that while cuts are necessary, he hopes the city can eventually open up hiring for police.
We have been thin, but we hope that in the near future, we can open it up for hiring again. But right now, I think things are going to be as is now.
Shropshire says the cuts do not impact the police patrolling the city. Cuts will go into effect July 1st. A former Republican state senator says his efforts to repeal personal property taxes could help him become the next St. Charles County executive. STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum reports on how Bill Igel is trying to stand out in a crowded GOP primary.
Igel wants to sell county assets and reduce governmental spending enough so that St. Charles County could end residents' personal property taxes. His main opponents, incumbent Steve Ellman and former Lake St. Louis Mayor Jason Law, contend his plan is illegal or impractical. But Igel says his proposal can withstand scrutiny.
If we want to get St. Charles County growing, imagine the growth that's going to start coming St. Charles County's way if we become the only county in the state that doesn't have personal property tax.
The winner of the August 4th GOP primary will face Democrat David Veneziano in the November general election. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Igel was a guest on Politically Speaking. You can listen to his episode at stlpr.org or wherever you listen to podcasts like this one. Changes are underway for the St. Louis Cardinals as they transition into new leadership announced yesterday. As STLPR's Anison Krebs Carr reports, Bill DeWitt Jr. is passing the Cardinals' legacy to his son, Bill DeWitt III.
DeWitt III says the announcement is part of a planning process that's been in place for a few years.
In some ways, it's not that big of a change, as all of us up here have been working together closely, you know, for a couple years now. But in formalizing these roles, we're just firming up the leadership structure that will lay the foundation for the next wave of organizational and team success.
DeWitt Jr. was the Cardinals' chief executive officer for 30 years and will continue as chairman and principal owner. Anuk Kurunarate is stepping into the role of President of Business Operations, the position previously held by DeWitt III. I'm Anison Krebs Carr, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri Department of Conservation manages nearly 1 million acres of land across the state. To do that, the department employs conservation agents with full law enforcement powers to protect wildlife, property, and people. And as Will Fira reports, some of those agents get some extra four-legged help.
In an empty field down a dirt road in Montauk County, Missouri Conservation Agent Corporal Matt Wheaton and his partner are on the hunt.
You know, these big open fields like this are places that people regularly drive around looking for deer to shoot off the road, or we'll spotlight.
They're looking for evidence.
Agent got a call that somebody was shining a light in this field last night and they heard a couple gunshots.
That likely means someone illegally hunted from the road, a crime MDC considers poaching. But how do agents find small traces of evidence over a large area? The answer is Wheaton's partner.
This is Chuck. He is a 5-year-old German quartered pointer.
Chuck's nose can detect a variety of things.
The dog could find us a blood spot that was out in the field that where a deer may have been killed. The dog could find the shell casings.
Wheaton says Chuck doesn't replace traditional detective work.
The dog is very good at finding puzzle pieces for us to then connect back to the person.
During today's training exercise, Chuck found a puzzle piece.
So this is Chuck's indication here. So he's got a shell casing in between his feet right now. He's scooting back and forth.
Chuck's reward is a toy.
Yeah.
On another day, Wheaton might have continued the investigation by interviewing witnesses and gathering more evidence.
We did a mock-up of what 90% of our calls are going
to
be.
But today, it's off to the next training exercise.
Hold up. Hey.
Wheaton works with Chuck to patrol his assigned area, Morgan County. But as one of just 9 MDC canine units, they also support investigations in central Missouri and across the state. Chuck's skill set and that of other dogs in similar roles is rare.
About 1 in 1,000 dogs is actually a good fit for this line of work.
That's Kayla Pratt, co-founder of a nonprofit called Canine Conservationists. She also uses dogs to find conservation evidence, but for research instead of enforcement. Often the dogs help researchers find scat or remains to monitor the health of wildlife populations.
The other big thing that the dogs provide is the ability to search more effectively.
There are no barriers to entry in this field, which Pratt says has helped to drive its recent growth. But it also makes establishing credibility challenging. Clara Wilson, a researcher at PenVet Working Dog Center, says if training is designed poorly, dogs can get used to receiving cues they won't get in the real world.
I think the gap between the science community and the training community is lessening.
Back in Montauk County, Wheaton had an MDC employee hide a target for Chuck before they drove to the site. That way, he couldn't accidentally give Chuck any cues. Chuck successfully found containers of wildlife parts, a hidden firearm, and even a soda can Wheaton had me throw out of a window while we were driving.
We do law enforcement off the beaten path.
That can mean investigations and citations. But throughout the day, Wheaton stopped to just chat with people who are hunting or boating.
Good luck to you.
Yeah, you have a good day.
Take care.
He sometimes hands out little cards with a picture of Chuck on them, like to a group of kids who are getting ready for a day on the lake.
He's one of those dogs that very much when we're working, it's all business.
Yeah.
And when we're not.
Just like Wheaton, Chuck wears a badge to work. And just like anybody, when he gets off duty, he likes a pat on the back.
And he better get a pat on the back. That story comes to us from Will Fierro with our member station KBIA in Columbia. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.